Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We are indeed in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. What a great staff that they have at Sunbury Motors. They take care of you. They want to know what is the situation that fits your lifestyle. What is the situation that fits your budget? And then once you purchase the vehicle, their service department is tremendous. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. It has been another battle between Steelers and Ravens today, as obviously Steeler fans are upset at the two-game suspension doled out to Ray Rice. I think women's groups should be outraged by the two-game suspension. And I think any self-respecting male ought to be outraged by it.
Yeah, I think everybody should
have had
at
least a half season. Yep.
I mean, I think it's that simple. I think everybody should be outraged about it.
No question about it.
And as I said last hour, I agree with what you're saying, though, and what you said, Steve, and trying to find out, you know, exactly what, you know, the guidelines are for Roger Goodell and his rulings, but it just seems
I don't know if it falls under a union thing or not.
Yeah.
It may not.
I mean, at face value, knowing nothing more, it does seem a little questionable that maybe he's softening up a little bit and maybe too much from being the hardline guy that he was when he first took over the job.
Well, this one doesn't make sense to me. It was so high profile and made the league look so bad that I don't understand it. I mean, longer suspensions for pot smoking, taking Adderall, DUI, illegal tattoos, dog fighting, eating a protein bar thought to be in the NFL's approved list. People have received longer suspensions for that list than what Ray Rice got today. Okay. Robert Mathis got 4 games for using an unapproved fertility drug. Remember that one? How about that one?
I do remember that, yeah.
I mean, that's this year. I mean, high-profile cases of involving violence against women. Simple. Okay? Just look at it. Darrell Washington of the Cardinals. Greg Hardy of the Carolina Panthers. Now Ray Rice. Okay? There are allegations of domestic violence that have surfaced against Fred Davis of the Redskins. Now, Washington got a year of probation. And he assaulted the mother of his child. Shoved her down with both hands, breaking her collarbone. Well, they knocked him out for the entire 2014 season. Now, they claim that it was also a second violation of the substance abuse policy. That's why. But in a league that parades out as much pink as it can in the month of October for Breast Cancer Awareness Month, which is great. That's fine. And they make significant donations, which is awesome. This was a huge step backwards. And I don't get where he's coming from on this one. I mean, this is domestic violence against a woman that everybody watched. Now, it's not like she wasn't at fault for something. She apologized about her role in the incident, and he apologized to his bosses and the whole thing. But you know what was really interesting in that press conference? Remember the press conference the two of them had? He talked about.
I don't remember it all, but I remember it happening.
I apologize to the Ravens and blah, 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 blah. He didn't look over at her and say, and of course I'm sorry to you. He never one time even said that to her. That tells me a lot. I mean, two games. That's it? Two games. Okay. I would have gone 8. And I would have gone 8 because he was not incarcerated instead of a full. In other words, okay, the legal system decided not to incarcerate him. Okay, we're not going to take away his livelihood, but we're going to send a message that, forget this. Okay. And with the proviso, if we ever hear about anything about this again, you can kiss the season goodbye, and as you get older. Okay. But what the league did today, what Roger Goodell did today, if there's no sentencing guideline, which I can't find one, Kevin, I cannot find a sentencing guideline in the union contract about this. I think this was the discretion of the commissioner based on how I read it. But just remember this. I had somebody say to me today, says, well, it's a first offense. How many offenses do you need? One is too many. One is too many. And what the NFL did here and what Roger Goodell did here is they're wrong. Dead wrong. This is a huge, okay, this is a problem in society that needs to be, while it's impossible to do so, you want it wiped away forever. Should never be violence against women. And it's not like the Ravens have stepped up either. So, I don't know. Two games. I don't know. You know, what's interesting is everybody has said, you know, when it came out, I mean, even Ozzie Newsom said, well, I don't know, maybe there's a different story that was going to come out about it. That's what they wanted to wait and see. I'm sorry, but we watched the tape. I don't care what the story was. Well, they got this one wrong. Steeler fans upset. Ben got more.
I think there were guys on, you know, some minor drug policy violations that got more, too. I think that's the other side of this. I mean, that's what you really have to look at. Again, does the punishment fit the crime?
Yeah, but that's different, though. And you say, oh, wait a minute, hear me out. That is a negotiated between union, and so there's mandatory sentencing.
Yeah, all right. I can see that.
Okay, in other words, you already have a sentencing guideline. I mentioned the Washington thing. He's out for the whole year for the Cardinals, right? Darryl Washington. And, of course, this all stemmed from, but they claim that the reason they're doing it is that he gets a whole year because of a second substance abuse violation is why he's getting a year. I mean, the union has negotiated a drug policy. There is not a negotiated policy on suspensions for domestic violence, to my knowledge. But when it comes to the drug policy, and the drug policy is put in place, not to be honest with you, the big reason there is a drug policy and mandatory sentencing in the NFL is because of PEDs, not because of marijuana. It's because of PEDs, and so they made it through for any. There's a list of them, from illegal to performance enhancing drugs. They blew this one. There's no question about it. In fact, to me, the suspension of Ray Rice for two games is an embarrassment for the National Football League. Complete embarrassment. You start comparing suspensions, and we mentioned Josh Gordon. You mentioned Ben Roethlisberger. Okay. Sean Payton and Bounty Gay got a whole year, but he's management, and they can do whatever they want to management. Here, we witnessed a domestic violence incident with a man and a woman. It's on tape. It wasn't in the home. It wasn't as if she taped it in the home and then got it out there on YouTube. It's on a security camera in public. Other people witnessed it. But he'll at least miss the Steeler game, Kev.
That doesn't matter.
It does to you.
No. No, it doesn't. Hey, this just in. The Phillies win. A 2-1 win for the Phillies over the Giants on getaway day. Ryan Howard sits this one out. And Darren Ruff goes 1-for-4 in his return.
So, instead of Cole Hamels pitching a six-hitter, that's not the story.
Hamels was 8 innings, 6 hits, 1 earned run, walked 1, and struck out 10.
See? That's actually a bigger story than your Darren Ruff thing.
It is.
I mean,
Papelbon got his 24th save after blowing one the other day.
Mariano Rivera blew him.
I mean, I'm not chastising him by any means for blowing that save. I mean, that happens. I get it.
Game 7, 2001 World Series. Game 4, 2004 American League Championship Series. The best of all time. The Phillies, Marlon Byrd singled to knock in Jimmy Rollins. Chase Utley singled, and Ben Revere scored. Doesn't appear Darren Ruff's involved in any of these plays.
Well, talking baseball a little bit, the trade deadline coming up next week, lots of rumors, but there have been several moves.
Hold on.
Early.
Grady Sizemore went 0-for-3.
Okay,
there we go.
All right.
Yeah. That was your other savior.
I see.
So you keep running out one savior after another, and then you forget you've labeled them a savior.
I don't remember saying savior. I said help, maybe.
Oh no.
Maybe help.
They're gonna get Grady Sizemore. Okay, you gotta get him. It's like I said, they're going, are you nuts?
I said, well, I mean, I know he's not having the greatest years, but you know, it's not much worse than what's there now. Well, that's all I'm saying. Now, we've seen a lot of moves already this year in Major League Baseball before the trade deadline. More than I can remember in the last several years. Is that all we're going to see, Steve, or is there going to be some more moves coming up here in the next week? Or is it just because it's really not a great market to be moving guys right now in Major League Baseball?
Well, part of the issue happens to be is there are very few teams out of it. That's the issue I talked about last year. With the second wild card, more teams are in it.
That's the problem. So, you know, you're not really going to deal among yourselves in order to get a player. I mean, Tampa Bay now has to reconsider whether to deal David Price. They're back. I mean, really, they're back in it. They may be four games under 500, but they're back in it. They're seven games out of first place. They're closer in the wild card. You look at the second wild card right now, that's where it's at for everybody. Tampa Bay's 4.5 back in the second wild card. They're really going to deal? Texas, Houston, and Minnesota probably will deal. Philadelphia, Arizona, the Cubs, and Colorado might deal. San Diego. That's it. We're down to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 teams that might deal. Maybe Bartolo Colon from the Mets. But there's not a lot of guys available. Texas dealt their closer to Detroit. The Cubs have already traded Jason Hamill and Jeff Sparja to the A's. So unless they want to trade Rizzo, who's left? Who do you have? There really are not a lot of guys that are out there that you trade. There's not a lot of tradable guys right now, or teams willing to make trades. You have 8 sellers and 22 buyers. Look at it that way.
Are you surprised that the Phillies have not been more active?
Well, you're not going to really get active. It's July 24th. I mean, the trade deadline's a week from today. I mean, anything big would happen over the weekend not over the weekend.
I thought San Diego made some big moves.
Yeah, they trade Chase Headley, one guy. Well, in Houston Street.
I was going to say, what about Street? Oakland. Yeah, that was Houston the one Street I was thinking of first, right.
Yeah, Houston Street to Oakland. Again, Oakland is the one that's surprisingly active in acquiring guys. 2 starting pitchers and a closer? Really? Wow. Yeah, that's impressive. Billy Bean. They have the best, they have the best team in baseball right now. How about that? You look at Oakland. Oakland right now has the best record in baseball. They're playing 620 ball. Okay. Doesn't matter if it's day, night, home, away, grass, turf, one-run games. They win. They've won 10 games in extra innings. Nobody else has 10 wins in extra innings. They've won 15 one-run games. They've been terrific. And now they've gone out and they are 24 games over 500 right now. Oakland. Nobody ever sees Oakland play. I mean, do you watch Oakland play?
No.
Do you know who's on the A's?
They wear green sometimes, right?
Oh, jeez. It's going to be one of those days.
Yellow?
Oh, God.
White, for Derek sure.
Derek Norris, the catcher, really good. Johnny Jaso, not that bad. Coco Crisp. Brandon Moss.
Poor guy's 22 named this after year. Cereal.
Cespedes had a good year. Not a great average year, but a good year. Josh Donaldson, you know how much I like him. I think he's a fabulous player at third base. Jed Lowry, not bad. Josh Reddick. And, of course, they have the world-famous Nick Punto. Big fan of Nick Punto. But you look at what they've done this year as a team. Okay? I mean, numbers across the board. I mean, they hit well in the clutch. They are first in, here's a team. Listen to this. They are 15th in the league in batting average. I mean, not in the league. 15th in all of baseball in batting average. 15th. Guess where they are in runs scored?
Third.
First. They have scored more runs than anybody with the 15th best batting average. Why? What does Billy Beane believe in? What's the number one offensive stat Billy Beane believes in?
On-base percentage, isn't it?
You're darn right. They have the 15th best batting average, but they're sixth in on-base percentage. And they're seventh in all of baseball in slugging percentage.
I paid attention to the movie.
They get on base and they hit in the clutch. Now, okay, their bullpen has saved them. Okay, quality starts. They're 23rd, right? Yet they are third in ERA, they are second in WHIP, and they're second in batting average given up. They play just a really good, fun, solid, fundamental game. And obviously, they've developed their own star. Cespedes is a star. Moss they've acquired in trades. But they've got Scott Kazmir's had a big year for them. Sonny Gray is one of the better young pitchers in all of baseball. And, of course, you know what I personally think of Luke Gregerson, as you well know. Gregerson started his professional career here in State College. This guy has 16 holds for them this year. It's really good. But that's the name of the game. These guys have excellent long relief. And now you put Houston Street in combination with Sean Doolittle. Sean Doolittle's their closer. Streets, he went to the Angels. But you put Sean Doolittle, who's got 15 saves this year, which is fabulous year for him. And Doolittle's only given up 27 hits in 50 innings of pitching this year. Not bad, huh? Next hour, Kevin compares suspensions in every sport.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Big story of the day is Ray Rice getting just two games for the NFL. Steeler fans were quick to pounce. Including one on the air.
Were you listening to Pittsburgh radio today? I would imagine you would have heard something there.
Didn't have to go far. Heard it here.
Didn't take long for the comparisons to Ben to come out. I'm
was
like,
irrelevant. Was not a comparison based on Steeler-Raven.
Irrelevant. It just has to do with, you look at the situation and say, well, Okay, what does this mean? What message do I need to send? He didn't send the right message. He blew it. It's domestic violence against a woman, half season minimum. So,
by the way, this in this afternoon, David Ortiz left the Red Sox game. Let's see, with a back injury, injuring himself on a check swing.
Okay. There you go.
And Rory McIlroy is reportedly dating a much prettier model in Europe. It's really? That made the sports highlight page today? Come on.
It's the world we live in now.
Even I don't think that's interesting.
I would have thought it's right up your alley.
No. No, even I don't think that's interesting.
Kendrys Morales dealt today from the Minnesota Twins to the Mariners for Steven Pryor. They're trying to upgrade their offense. 277 with 34 doubles and 80 runs knocked in last year.
And finally, five good IndyCar seconds. IndyCar Series taking a break this weekend. They'll be back at Mid-Ohio on Sunday the 3rd.
Is your goal every day to destroy the show, drive listeners away? What is your goal?
No, I have one goal, and the one goal is to promote IndyCar racing and its resurgence.
Yes, but that doesn't match up with radio's goals, which is listenership.
It's true. I cannot argue with that. But I just want to do my part for the sport. That's all.
All right. Well, let's talk about the Penn State football preseason depth chart and how it looks going in. And this is Penn State. Okay. Penn State put this out. And the preseason depth chart, as it looks, from Penn State. Okay? And they'll go with an X and a Z receiver, and then we'll go with two separate tight end groupings, okay, which will be F and Y. All right? The X receiver, the number one guy, is DeShon Baker, backed up by, you know. But see, I think what we're seeing here is that this is being done by seniority, all right? So this depth chart is not going to be accurate because it's done with exactly what James Franklin said he was going to do. Is going to be on seniority, all right? So you got Baker, Zanilato, Lewis, Chris Geis, and Saeed Blacknell. Then the Z, you've got Jay Kiley, Deshaun Hamilton, Luke Vadas, Chris Godwin, Brandon Kurtz. Right? So you expect Lewis to be the one at the X. Zanilato's going to get a lot of playing time. Blacknell's going to get a long look. The other one, Hamilton's going to get a lot of playing time. And Godwin, I think, is going to get a long look. Then Hackenberg, and then probably Michael. Yeah, they have Hackenberg, then it's DJ Crook O'Connor, Billy Fessler, who's a freshman walk-on, and then Trace McSorley, the true freshman who was recruited. Expect Hackenberg to be one there, O'Connor two, and DJ Crook three. Swinack, Belton, Brandon Johnson, Darren Thompson, Akeel Lynch, Hafner, Chip Chipiali, Geiger, Nikki Scott, Mark Allen, Jonathan Thomas. Expected to be probably Belton 1, Swinack 1A, Akeel Lynch 1B, and the fourth guy probably is Chip, Cole Chipiali. Fullback, they're really not going to really use one, but Dom Salamone. Brandon Smith would be from Lewisburg is in this mix. Charles Adiamudio was moved from outside linebacker to fullback, just so everybody knows. The F tight end, Carter Wilkerson, Gasecki. The Y tight end, James Brenneman and Pancoast. And again, it's all done by seniority. That's what the depth chart is. The depth chart is all seniority, so don't look at the depth chart and go, oh my God, I can't believe this. Right, this is, you know, what I expected. That's because it's done in seniority. Nelson, Jim Birdie, Chaz Wright, and Charlie Schumann at the right tackle spot. Right guard, Miles Diefenbach, who's coming back from his injury. Brian Gaia, Terlingo, Noah Bay, Myers. Center, Mangiero, Laurent, Tom Devaney. That probably is pretty accurate there. Guard, Dowry, Brendan Mann at guard. See, that's the big one right there. That Brendan Mann, who had been playing right tackle, is going to go to left guard. Remember, he was a right tackle in the spring. He was going to go at left guard. And Marshall Lefferts is the other one. Then the left tackle, Donovan Smith, Albert Hall, whom they like. Brosnan, Adam DeBoeuf from State College, and Chance Sorrell. The other wideout, the F wideout, Greg Garrity, DeAndre Tompkins, and they have Troy Apke listed as that wide receiver. Some have said he might get a look at safety. Okay. This isn't as exciting as your Ray Rice, Ben Roethlisberger comparison, but I think more people are interested.
No, I would agree with you there. I think more people are interested.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Steeler-Raven whining part that didn't come off right. Brad Barnes, Deion Barnes, Evan Schwann, Curtis Cothran at one defensive end, Tyrone Smith, Anthony Zettel, Antoine White. So obviously you expect Barnes at the top of that. Then if Barnes is healthy enough, he'd be the two. Tackle, Zettel, then probably Tyrone Smith and White will have an interesting battle for that two spot there. The other defensive tackle, Terrell Barney, whom they like a lot, but you expect Austin Johnson to be the guy that goes up there. Then probably Barney, then Parker Cothran, Joey Holmes. Another defensive end, C.J. Alanian, really good. Carl Nassif, who I like a lot. Garrick Sickles, good player. I mean, they're pretty good on the defensive line. And Torrence Brown. Outside linebacker, they have Ben Klein listed. And then, of course, they have Matt Bainey, Naeem Wortman, whom you'd expect to move up there, Ryan Ammerman, Carter Henderson, and then there's Jason Kabinda that a lot of people have high hopes for of making his way up the depth chart in all of this. Okay. Middle, Mike Hall, Gary Wooten makes sense. Adam Cole makes sense. Mike Wyan makes sense. Troy Reeder, a lot of people think Reeder will work his way up there, too. The other outside linebacker, you expect Brandon Bell and Von Walker to be the ones and twos. Then Drew Boyce, T.J. Rattigan, and Hunter Crawford. T.J. changed his number to 42, by the way, from 22. Corner, Trevor Williams and Daquan Davis you'd expect to be the top two. Then after that, Jesse Maurice, Casey Gaines, Kyle Alston, Christian Campbell, and Amani Arawari. Free safety, Ryan Kaiser, Jesse Della Valle makes sense. Colin Harrop, Anthony Smith. You know, see if Anthony can start to make a move. Brian Tomasetti, Marcus Allen. Strong safety, Adrian Amos. Then probably Malik Golden, Koa Farmer, and Jordan Dudas. And the other corner, you'd have Jordan Lucas. Jordan Smith probably be the two there going in. And then after that, you've got, you know, Daquan Worley, Grant Haley. I know, you know, they're high on what he can do. You got Desi Davis, Dad Poqui, and Devin Pryor. And as for the kicking spots, you will have punter. Ugula will probably be the guy that gets the lead on that. Sam Ficken did some punting in the spring, but that's not his forte. Danny Pascarella from Australia, that they think they're pretty high on him. And Robbie Leibel, place kicker, Ficken, Gula, and Joey Julius. Holder, Ryan Kaiser, Adam Geiger, Chris Gula. All makes sense. Tyler Yazian as the snapper. Zach LaDonis, Sean Corcoran, and Hunter Crawford. And the list of kick returners, and this is the list. Adrian Amos, Devin Pryor, Trevor Williams, DeAndre Tompkins, Grant Haley, Koa Farmer. It'll be interesting to see who emerges out of that. And the punt returners, Jesse Della Valle, Jordan Lucas, Greg Garrity, DeAndre Tompkins, Grant Haley. Tompkins and Garrity had a long look in the spring. So those are some of the names. on there. Those are some of the names on there. So,
Steve, we got Dave on the line from Sunbury.
Dave, how are you?
Hello, Steve.
How are you doing, Dave?
Okay. Watching an October 12th, 1985 Alabama-Penn State game. The last 42 seconds.
That game in 1985, there are two things about that game that stick out to me above anything else. There was a point in the game, I want to say in the third, no, it was the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter where Joe decided it was his call to run a reverse with Michael Timpson that got the ball out to midfield. And then John Schaefer, moving them downfield, got hurt, had to leave the game. And Brian Matt Kisner came in the game, and Fran Ganner had called a run up the middle with Steve Smith, and Joe overruled it and changed it and said, no, I want him to throw the ball. And so they put a little bootleg in for him, and he ran a semi-boot right, and he hit Brian Seiverling, and Brian Seiverling went in for a touchdown.
Yeah, Bob Williams was also open in the back, a little further back in the end zone, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and that made it 19-10, and they held on and won 19-17, if I remember.
Yeah, because they tried that onside kick.
Yeah.
With Lydell Mitchell. Remember? Because, guy for ABC.
Keith Jackson?
Keith Jackson.
Keith Jackson. Said about what's the chances of a guy by the name of Lydell Mitchell? Well, that might have been the other game.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's one or the other.
Yeah.
But I call primarily about, I'm not a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and I think that's a crock.
Oh no, the Steeler fans are right to be upset about the length of the suspension, as long as they're fair about the fact that it's about domestic violence and not comparing it to their guy. When they start comparing it to their guy, I don't want to hear the argument. I just want to hear about what's appropriate about the current case and about domestic abuse of women.
That's what that's why I say it's a crock. To be honest, there, Steve. Right.
I mean, when you start comparing it to your guy, that becomes whining. I don't want to hear whining. I want somebody to say, you know what, he deserves a half season or 5 games or 10 games or 20 games or whatever, because this can't be tolerated. Not like, hey, my guy got this. I don't care what your guy got. Hey, because now you got to look back as to whether that was the right decision or not, and that's in the rearview mirror. This is current, and it's about domestic violence of women, not comparing it to somebody else's suspension.
Personally, I thought that the whole argument is apples and oranges.
Sure. I mean, it doesn't matter what the other person got. It doesn't matter what the other person got. It's irrelevant. Okay, what's relevant is what happened here, what I witnessed, okay, what the legal system did, and now what I need to do, not about what you did to somebody else.
Oh, I thought you were correct about saying either you or Kevin said about, well, Baltimore didn't do any kind of Ozzie Newsome or somebody saying, you know, well, we're going to maybe suspend him for, you know, more games,
they wanted to see if there was another side to the story. You're like, okay, I just watched it on TV. I mean, what side do I need to watch?
Yeah,
and that's the part that got me. Look, and see what happens with teams is that letting the league handle discipline is an easy out for them.
That's true. Well, I know you're close to the button it up hour anyway, so I'll hang up and listen. And
I think I just heard Keith Jackson go, "Whoa, Nelly, really wrecked him down."
Yeah.
Okay.
Kevin sent me a note. What about Brandon Smith? He must have missed me saying he was third at fullback.
Okay, I did miss you say that.
Do you listen to the show?
I'm sorry. I was listening to Keith Jackson.
Why?
Because he's awesome.
Work with him then.
No.
I've tried, but all he's done lately is Gatorade commercials.
Oh, boy. All right, we'll come back, wrap it up in a moment with a Steeler fan. Do you realize it clouds all your judgment?
No, just in your mind.
Where Sealands Grove, Sunbury, and Lewisburg turn first for news.
All right. Oh.
I clicked the wrong button. I take full responsibility, and Roger Goodell shall send a one-show suspension for that?
Yeah, except you're raking for it. Cavaliers,
I'll take my suspension next week. All right, go ahead.
The Cleveland Cavaliers have signed first overall pick Andrew Wiggins to a contract, and there's been a lot of talk about him being traded to Minnesota for Kevin Love as part of a package deal. Well, by signing him today, that means the Cavaliers cannot trade him for 30 days. Can't trade him for 30 days. Tomorrow, Jerry DiNardo, BTN, is going to be on the show. We'll have him on at 3:35 tomorrow to talk about several issues in college sports, and we're also going to talk about Penn State and the Big Ten. Well, another action-packed show. Kevin speaking for all Steeler fans.
I wear that badge proudly.
You and Sean Carey mad. What I'm mad about is that one instance of domestic violence is one instance too many. Everyone saw this. Everyone saw it. It's on YouTube. If you haven't seen it, you can look it up. Any rational thinker would say at least a half a season. Since there's no conviction in the case, at least a half a season. You got two games.